You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be here again, Every Nation downtown Toronto. And Richard, our associate pastor, who's been doing most of this series so far, is in Chicago having a great time at Wheaton College studying the two-week course. He's working on his master's program now, and I don't know if those of you follow him, you've been having some great tweets and updates and things, so I'm sure that he's having a great time right now down there studying. I know he really enjoys that. Well, we're continuing our Galatians series, though, and today I'm going to look at the subject of how faith and grace work together. You know, sometimes when we hear these messages about grace and how it's all God and it's just, you know, he just has done it all and things like, we can sometimes get the impression that we're just like the type of people who are just kind of lying down on the beach. I sort of had an image here of sort of how some people can kind of take this. It's like, this is the Christian walk then. You know, you've got your, whatever that is, a Slurpee from 7-Eleven, you got your tunes going, your book, your smartphone, and some suntan lotion or whatever. And really, you know, that's sort of what it means. Because Jesus did it all and grace changes everything, then we're just going to like just have, we're just going to chill. You know, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And we're going to look at that in our passage today. It actually refers to the patriarch Abraham, and Abraham did anything but just sit and lie on a beach, so to speak, figuratively. So let's go before God's before God in prayer, and then read our passage today. Heavenly Father, thanks for this word in Galatians, Lord, and your grace. But we also ask God that you would show us our part and how we have to activate our faith in this. In Jesus' name, speak to us. We pray. Amen. So let's look at the passage today. We're in Galatians, the third chapter, starting verse 15. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 434 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come whom the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediator. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we may be justified by faith. Just by way of review, the people that this letter was written to, they were Jewish people for the most part, and they were talking about the Mosaic Law. The most famous of being, of course, is the Ten Commandments and the other laws. And it was really what it meant to be Jewish, to meant to be a follower of God at that time, to follow the Old Testament scriptures, was to follow this law. And it's not, we're not saying the law isn't good, but what was happening is that as people were finding that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this law, and that you could never fulfill all this law anyhow, only he could fulfill it, and that they were being born again by faith, God's Spirit was coming into their life, then this tension was coming where the people were saying, yeah, but we need to do all these things still. And there was this tension. And so what Paul is reminding them is that the genesis of the faith is not when the law was given. The start of this walk with God in faith, well, first of all, it was by Adam and Eve all the way back. God never left himself without a witness. Even creation testifies of God. God's word in Romans tells us. So God is always speaking. It's not like, okay, when the law was given, that was the only way and the only time that God spoke. But this particular time when God came to this, the father of of our faith, we might say Abraham, was God was speaking to him and revealing things to him 430 years before the law came. And what he's saying is that there was a contract or a covenant that was ratified by faith with God and Abraham. And so you can't add after that something else. The law had a different purpose, but we have to go back to faith. And when you look at the life of Abraham, as I said with that funny picture of someone lying on the beach, it wasn't that. And so if we want to experience the grace of God, it is incumbent upon us to activate our faith. And I want to look into the life of Abraham and just show three things in his life by how he exercised faith and how we need to exercise faith and how we need to grow in our faith. Romans 4, verse 1 to 3 in the Message version says this: "So how do we fit what we know about Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things? If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he certainly could have taken credit for it. But the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. What we read in Scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him, and that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own." And I want to actually do a twofold message on faith and how faith needs to be mixed with grace. And so this week, I want to talk about the work of faith. I want to talk about getting up off the beach, if that's the posture that you think God has for you, because it's not. And then next week, I want to look at the reward of faith. But we're going to, so our thoughts are going to be thinking about the work of faith, of what is it that God would have us to do, looking at the life of Abraham as our example, entering into, it said that Abraham entered into God, what God was doing for him. And we have to enter into what God is doing for us. And we do that by faith. So three ways that Abraham expressed it. First of all, number one, faith was expressed in willingness to leave and to follow. Willingness to leave and to follow. Here was the first thing that God told Abraham back in Genesis, recorded in Genesis 12, verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram," he wasn't even called Abraham at the time, he was just, his name was Abram, "go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." So the first thing he said is a willingness to leave. And that takes faith to move out of your comfort zone, to move from where you're at. That takes faith to leave and to follow. Is a way that we express our faith. And so it said further down in verses 4 and 5, it said, "So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the peoples that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Cana." That's Palestine and Israel today. And so we see a little picture here of this is what Abraham did. He was over on the far left. You can see just where Babylonia, and that's where they set out. And if you look where Shechem and Hebron is, that's where the promised land was. But he went kind of a northern journey all the way up to Haran and then and down. So we're not going to look at all the details of his trip. But nonetheless, especially in those days when you think about it, I mean, that's like, that's quite a hike. You know, you might have like me, I lost my Fitbit somewhere, but you know, you track your mile, or maybe you have it on your phone or something like that. Well, I can't imagine the step count, you know, that Abraham would have had on this journey, but I mean, he would have been getting some real stars, I'm sure. But it exercised faith, especially in those days where travel and movement weren't as easy as it was today, and even the idea of safety and security. But when God causes us, he causes us to move out from our comfort zone. In our particular life, I'm from Vancouver, but God asked us to move to Calgary to plant a church at the University of Calgary. Then he called us over to down to Nashville, Tennessee for 12 years. Then he called us back to Canada, up here to Toronto. And so I have a picture here also of the missionary journeys of Bert and Sheila. That's from 1989 to 2017. And so maybe not quite as dramatic as Abraham, but we experienced this too. But here's the thing. God might not ever ask you to move physically. He may not. But nonetheless, if we want to exercise faith, there's something of God where he moves you out of your comfort zone. He causes you to take steps. He causes you to leave some things behind that aren't healthy for your spiritual walk. Maybe it's a relationship that you know that that isn't going to get me closer to Jesus. Maybe it's a job that you say, hey, yeah, they pay a lot of money, but there's compromise in it. Or maybe there's something else. Maybe there's, you know, you feel compelled to do what someone is telling you to do. Maybe a family member wants you to do something, but you know it's not God's will. Then by faith, you have to leave that. You have to leave in order to exercise faith. It's not just Abraham. It's all of us. Jesus was constantly in his ministry asking people to leave. Every one of his disciples that he called, he said, you got to come, follow me. You got to leave something. You got to leave something. And whether it's a physical leaving or it's something that's holding us back in our quest, in our relationship with God, you can't move and follow Jesus without be willing to leave something. And that's really a big problem, is because sometimes we want what God has for us, but we're not willing to let go of this. And you know what happens? It is that tension. And you cannot fully follow Jesus until you let go of everything that he's asking you to let go of. And so for all of our lives, the growth and the journey of faith has this element of leaving and following, leaving and following. What are the things that God might be asking you to leave and to follow? That next step, what is it to leave so that you can follow? Jesus said this in Matthew 16, 25. He said, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it, will find it. Secondly, faith was expressed in patience. Back in Genesis 12, God goes on to say, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, Abraham, and in you all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, at that time, it was pretty improbable because Abraham was already 75 years old. And so when God's saying, hey, you know, he hasn't had any kids, him and his wife have had no kids, you know, they're getting on in age, you know, they hit 65, they're collecting Canada pension. And, you know, they're just like thinking, you know, let's get a cottage and let's go up north, you know, let's do something. Or in the winter when it's cold, let's go down to Arizona or Florida. We'll become snow. You know, it's like that's how most people are thinking at that age. But God's coming to me saying, no, it's time to have a family and have this great nation. What's interesting is that after he says this, 10 more years go by and there's no son. So now he's 85 years. So it's gone from improbable to kind of impossible. And this is what it says in Genesis 15, 1 through 6. This is Abraham's journey. So he's 10 years into this now. 10 years he's been promised a son. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I'm your shield, and your reward will be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. So he's already setting it up. He's saying, look, I can't, you know, he's built up possessions. He's become a great man by now. And so he's making plans. Okay, well, heck, I have no child of my own. I'm going to have to find the next closest kin, and it's Eliezer. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside. This is God bringing Abraham outside in this vision and said, look towards heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteousness. So even though it got more impossible, God showed him these stars. He said, look, you're going to have a son. You're going to have descendants. And through you, there's going to be a great blessing over the whole world, which is what we're enjoying now. But it seemed impossible. You know, and it's interesting that this interplay, because Abraham was starting to question God. He was making plans to saying, okay, if it's not going to work out this way, maybe it'll be this way. I came across this great quote in an online commentary. You might say, well, you know, why is, you know, why is, Why is Abraham talking to God like this? Listen to this quote. There are two levels of faith. The first is accepting and patiently waiting. The second is challenging God to keep his promise. Both look to God as the one who's able to perform. The non-faith response is simply to ignore God because you no longer think he's a factor. Isn't that good? When you start to question God about some of the things, that actually says that your heart is still engaged with God. People who've given up, they don't question God anymore because they've lost sight of the promise altogether. Patiently waiting sometimes means that, God, what's going on? I don't get it. It seems like the promises that you're promising me seem to be getting further away from me instead of closer to me. You know what's interesting? 14 years later, still no son. And so Abraham has another encounter with God. And this time, this is what God says. Abram, I just think instead of calling you Abram, I think we should change your name to Abraham, the father of many nations. And your wife, Sarai, I think she should have a name change too, to Sarah, which means mother of nations. And so this promise of walking with God has come from improbable to impossible to laughable. And the reason why I use laughable is because Abram laughed when he heard this. And then in Genesis 18, a chapter later, God came and he finally said, and in 1 year from now, you're going to have the child. And Sarah laughed. And so sometimes it seems like things are getting further away instead of closer to the promises of God. But faith hangs in there. About a month ago, we had this prophetic word in our church that it was a season of bounty for us, a season of bounty. I don't know if you remember that, if you were there in that service. And a couple weeks after that, I realized, wow, we had a lot of people unemployed. We had students graduating from college who had no jobs. We had people who had temp jobs that they were now, you know, out of work, and just all these things. So I just said, hey, you know, we've got this, you know, opportunity. We have this word. It's a time of bounty. So a couple of weeks ago, we said, okay, well, let's just have this prayer for jobs. I don't know if you remember that, if you were here. And it's amazing because, and this is just the ones that I know of. I don't know everybody in the church and their situation by name or anything like that. But so far, I know of 4 new jobs, a saved job when they were doing some downsizing, a new permanent position from someone, and 1 promotion since that time. And we give God the glory for that because that's pretty amazing. But what if you're one of the people in our church who the promise still hasn't come yet? That's all great for those who received it that lickety split. But for you, your test of faith is patience and hang in there and to keep believing and to keep standing and to even question God if you need to. But at least you're in the game with him. Amen? You know, there's other areas. It's not just jobs. There's other areas where you may feel like you've been waiting for a relationship and you've been waiting and you've been living in a light in a way that would be pleasing to God. In other words, you're not going off the rails to do it in an unhealthy way. But you're saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you for the right person for me. You know, there takes patience to hang in there, to have that faith. That's one of the ways we exercise our faith is through patience, through not compromising, but hanging in there. You know, for some of you, it's certain careers. You know that God has spoken to you to go down a certain path in your career, and it hasn't come yet. Hang in there. Keep believing. Keep standing. Keep trusting God for that. And finally, faith is expressed in sacrifice. Now, these are just things really that I'm speaking today that I'm speaking from my heart. In my life, I've known God to push me out of my comfort zone or to say, it's time to pick up your family and move. And we haven't done it perfectly, but we have obeyed. And there's been times where, you know, even moving from Nashville to Toronto, you know, at our age and our, you know, 30 years in ministry experience, we just thought, Sheila's mentioned this when she preached last week, that things would have been more set up. We didn't think we'd be this much still in a grind, but we're trusting God. We're trusting God and we're doing it. We're trusting Him together, but it stretches our faith and it increases our faith. But the other area is sacrifice, is as you grow in your faith, you will grow in your sacrifice. And this is what God, when He came to Abraham, after he had the son Isaac, like God promised, they did have that son in old age. How they did it, I don't know, but they did it. I know that there's Hollywood movie stars now that are having babies in their 50s. Did you see the news on this? You guys don't watch that kind of news media? Okay. You're too holy for that, I know. But there's a difference between 50s and your 90s. But God, it was a miracle. God preserved them and they were able to have that child. But later on, God asked, after he had this promised son, Isaac, that all these families and all these nations were supposed to come out of this child. Here's what God said in Genesis 22, 1-5. After these things, God tested Abraham. And he said to Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abram lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar. And Abram said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and will come again to you. It's amazing. You see his faith. He was willing to sacrifice his son. He was willing to give the very thing that God had given him. But even with that, he knew that the promise of being many nations. So even if he did, he believed that God would just raise him up from the dead again. And it's pretty hard to take of just the very thing. Genesis 22 is the very thing that God gave him. Now he's saying sacrifice him. You know, what I found in my life is the hardest thing to sacrifice isn't the things that are ruining your life anyhow. When you finally come to your senses, it's like, that's ruining my life. And so it's not as hard to sacrifice that kind of stuff. But what about when God gives you something? And then he asks you to put it on the altar. Now that's a hard one. Because it's not some sinful thing you're getting rid of. It's the very thing that God has given you, entrusted you. I remember this was the main tension when we left Calgary to go to the United States, because Sheila and I had felt like God had given us a dream and a vision for the nation of Canada to see these churches and campus ministries planted all across the nation. And when we were challenged and we knew it was God to move away, it's like, God, but this is the very thing that we're planning and dreaming for. This is what we committed our life to. And now you're saying, go to the USA? They've got enough churches. And the hardest thing was to put the very vision that God had, the dream and the vision that was in our heart, to put that on the altar and say, okay, God, put that on the altar. You gave us this vision. And if you're asking us to put it back on the altar, we'll put it back. We put it back on the altar and we moved to the U.S. We were hoping and thinking it would just be temporary or just a short time. That was the idea. Well, maybe we could get equipped and come back to Canada. But year after year went by and just different things happened. And it just seemed like our family was flourishing there. And it just didn't seem like time. But then after 14 years, God said, okay, now is the time. Come back to Canada. Fulfill this vision. And now we see, looking back, how we needed that time with what God showed us, with what God did with us in that season in Nashville. Let me close with this thought. When looking closer at Abraham's faith, it's very interesting because he did leave Ur, but he kind of took his own route to get there. And he didn't leave all his family at first. took his dad with him. That wasn't part of the bargain. Finally, in Haran, his dad Terah died, and then he moved down. But it's interesting. When he, you know, I said that he was waiting for the son and all of that. For those of you who don't know the story of Abraham, let me in on secret here. Well, you can just read it in the Bible. There's no secret. Him and his wife decided that the way that God was going to fulfill the promise is that this other woman, Sarah said, you know, this handmaid, why don't, you know, she's a lot younger than me, Abraham, how about you guys hook up and you have a child, and that child's name was Ishmael. So that was not in God's plan. So Abraham was patient, but even along the way, his obedience wasn't perfect. All along the way, you see he was a man of faith, and he does step out. And you know what I love about God is that he blesses our direction, not our perfection. He blesses our direction, not our perfection. But you know, there is one who, when he was called to leave it all and go, to leave heaven and come to earth, he left it all. And he was patient. And when he was tempted by the enemy in the wilderness, said, bow down. If you know, all the kingdoms of the world will be yours if you just bow down. He never compromised once. And when it was time to make the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, didn't hold back his very life, but went willingly to the cross to die for you and me. He didn't only have the right direction, but he fulfilled in perfect obedience. And when you're a follower of Jesus Christ, a miracle happens. All your sin and all your failure is put onto him. And all his perfection and all his obedience are transferred back onto you. And so that when God sees us, he sees us through the work of Christ, and we can be his children, and that we can follow the path that God has for each and every one of us. So as we conclude, you know, where are you at? You know, as the band comes up, I'm gonna let you guys come up and play a little bit, but I want to just reflect and say, God, because the word of God preached is not just to be enjoyed, and I hope it's enjoyable, but it's also to make an impact in our lives. We believe that when God's word is preached, the Holy Spirit applies it to our lives. You don't have to make things up. The Holy Spirit does that. But here's the questions. Is there something now that God is saying, I want you to leave behind as an expression of your faith to enter into his grace? Is there something? Maybe there's nothing. Don't make it up. Generally speaking, we know it. There's something that we know it's time to leave behind. Or secondly, maybe it's the second thing. Maybe impatience have crept in. You know that there's some things that God has promised you, but maybe you become really discouraged or whatever, and maybe you want to throw that off and say, God, I don't care if it goes from improbable to impossible to laughable. You are faithful, and you want to shake off that unbelief. You want to enter back in to believing for whatever it is that God has for you. Or finally, maybe there's some level of sacrifice. You know, I was thinking even in just the area of giving, the reason why Sheila and I have been able to do things like not just give our tithe, but like I've shared before, when we saved up for our first home, took us, I think, 8 years, and God challenged us to give the whole thing away. We gave it all away, our whole down payment. When it was time to move, to cash in other things, to move down to Nashville, we did it. When it came time for this move, to empty out our savings and our retirement, to make a move to Toronto, we did it. But do you know why we did it? Because we exercised our faith over many years. You'll never get to that level if you can't write out a tithe check. You'll never get to that level without taking the steps that go along the way. And I'm not saying this. All I'm trying to say is this, is that your faith has to be built. You don't get a big muscle of faith overnight. You get it by daily walking with Jesus, listening to his voice, obeying his word and his steps of faith. And so whatever it is, and the beautiful thing about it is wherever we're at right now, all he asks us to do is take the next step. And so let's just have a time of prayer. Just listen for his voice in your life. Heavenly Father, I thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but only conviction, clarity for each and every one of us. Thank you, God. You know, even in this church, I just believe that God wants to strengthen our faith. Daniel 11:32 says that the people who know their God will display strength and do exploits. They'll display strength and take action. I think that that's what God wants. Let's stand together as we do our closing song. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.